Hello and welcome to So You Think You Can Fanon. Please check the link tree in the description and see all of our beautiful, lovely, salacious links to listen to more. Thank you.
Don't you guys have any idea who I am? I am
you
Greg.
Are Jake.
I am Greg Chudley Atreides.
Duke of Arrakis.
I am the lead on all Chudley. And I will lead you to victory. Now, who wants to go kill the Harkonnens with me?
It's the Kaisatz Haderach.
The Kaisatz. Yeah, we got the Kaisatz Haderach. We got the Mutant All Chudley. We got the Bene Sergeret. And we got Matt Deeb.
I was gonna say Duke of Orlando.
Sergio Benedetto.
I don't want to be the Duke of Central Florida. That sounds fucking miserable.
You're right about that.
I would just be like, no, guys, we have to take back the government. Stop smoking meth. That's not like spice addiction. It's just regular addiction.
You don't get prescience for meth.
You don't get prescience for meth. You just start stripping.
All right, what are we doing today?
Do you even smoke meth?
Yeah. Like me, or are you asking if you
like in general? Like I usually think of meth as like a snorting drug.
No, you don't snort meth.
You do not snort it. That would be bad.
I'm sure you can.
I'm thinking of cocaine.
Why are we talking about this?
Well, I know Breaking Bad isn't the example, but they have plenty of instances of Breaking Bad where people snort meth. So I was just.
Do you think they do a line of the melange?
Probably.
Yeah.
I googled, do you smoke meth? And it brought me the suicide crisis hotline. So maybe.
Dude, your FBI agent's going to give you a call in a little bit, too.
Hey, bro, are you okay?
I googled, so, I don't want to do meth, I just want to know what it is. Just to be sure that, like, I don't get any calls.
I'm going hopefully he has a keylogger so he could see it.
Today, we're doing a Dune / Percy Jackson crossover fanfiction.
This is weirdly specified to our friend group.
It is very us coded. I specifically was going through every Dune crossover on AO3 to find one that was interesting. And obviously there's a lot of like Dune and Star Wars. There is an ungodly amount of RPF. As you can imagine in a franchise that has both Timothée Chalamet and Austin Butler. But I wanted to just laying out of the box, you know, not just the obvious crossover of Dune and then a media that was inspired by it. So that's why I went with this, Dune and Percy Jackson.
Is Percy Jackson inspired by Dune?
It is not, no.
You wanted to do one that was not inspired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I misheard you. I thought you were saying it was, and I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I wanted to go for an outside-of-the-box crossover, not like something that's just, like, obvious.
But not one that doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, I was hoping to find, like, a Dune and Pikmin crossover with, like, a Captain Olimar using the worms like Pikmin.
Would be awesome.
That'd be amazing. Paul Modib would be like, we don't need military power. We need Pikmin power. And he looks to the right.
Pikmin power.
Baron Harkonnen like explodes into an old GameCube game.
Why did he have 4 GameCube memory cards in his body? At least we can sell them to reduce our debt.
Paul, he was playing with power.
All right. I think Percy Jackson is a good fit for this. Now, I think the question is, are you going to narrate this, Sergio?
No, you
or
are.
Are you going to narrate it?
Or okay, you are.
No,
you're the legal narrator.
I'm
who's going to play Percy Jackson? Narrating.
That should be Jake.
Sure.
I think Jacob is very Jackson coded.
He is.
All right.
So I want to be Muad'Dib.
Yeah, you have to be Muad'Dib. Sergio is Chani.
And anybody else.
I don't think they're, like, in the...
Chani's in the tags.
Chani will be here. Jessica. Right. He can be Jessica.
All right, Sergio, you can do the summary and the title read.
All right. After the giant... Don't Waste Your Water on Me by Dross_End_Emb. Summary. After the giant war, all Percy wanted to do was go to college, just live a chill and totally normal life. But life never does seem to work out the way we want. The Fates decide to send Percy to the world of Dune. Born as a baby and left on the doorstep of House Atreides, Percy grows up with all of his memories. He lives alongside Paul's Atreides as a brother and personal guard. With new power and new enemies, Percy must learn to find his place in this new world, with a single goal to protect and care for his brother at all costs.
Imagine winning in two giant wars over the course of like 6 years of your life, and then you get sent at minimum 10,000 years in the future. Presumably way more.
And not even like a good or like a cool future that you'd want to live in.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're not on Arrakis or Caladan, living in the Dune world would be pretty cool.
I mean, maybe.
You don't have any computers, though.
They do
have
a lot
but
of
you can like read.
Compared to a lot of.
If I were Percy Jackson and I lived in the Dune universe, I would probably kill myself because they'd be like, oh, you want to read, Percy? And he'd be like, I hate my life.
Yeah, imagine being 10,000 years in the future, like, oh, what cool technology do we have? And you'd be like,
we don't have any.
Here's the thing, it's the same.
We don't have any technology. Remember letters? Not since the accident.
We still send people letters.
Mm-hmm. I am imagining, so for context, you guys haven't read Children of Dune, but there's a lot of scenes in Children of Dune where Leto and his sister speak in ancient languages so people don't understand what they're saying because they have their like prescient memory. And so I'm just imagining like fucking Percy Jackson hanging around Leto and his sister and they're like speaking ancient Greek and he's like, oh shit, word. He's like, oh fuck, finally someone I can understand. They're like, how do you know this language? How, do you know Agamemnon? And he's like, I met him one time. Kind of a dick.
I can only imagine that a son of Poseidon is gonna fucking have a heart attack on Arrakis.
That is true.
Yeah, but you know how powerful you would be with a still suit?
You could levitate.
Not even that. Like, if you're someone wearing a still suit tries to kill you, you can literally just, like...
just
implode them.
Like, bloodbending from Avatar, you just, like,
can
use
not,
the still suit water.
Can he not normally bloodbend? Is that not something he ever is shown to be able to do?
I don't think he ever tries it. I feel like that'd be kind of weird for him to do.
He's not that bloodthirsty.
I'm just imagining a scene with, like, him and, like, Dr. Kynes, where he's like, don't worry, Dr. Kynes, I can just detect water. I'll find it. And he's just standing there for 5 minutes and going, like... where is it?
There.
I don't detect it anywhere. Not even the ground.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh yeah, Leah Kynes, there is water 400 feet below. Never mind. This the sand trout drank it.
All right. Chapter 1. Babified? Seriously? Percy woke with a throbbing headache. The world seemed to blur around him as he fought to keep his eyes open. He could feel wet sand and the ever-present pull of the sea behind him. Rain crashed down to earth to meet him. Where was he? Where was Annabeth? His mom? Paul? Camp Jupiter? Camp Half-Blood? He attempted to sit up to catch his bearings and look around. He'd hoped to be able to figure out where he was, but he found he couldn't stand. He couldn't even move. He felt helpless as he wiggled his arms and legs around, scrambling to get his footing, but nothing worked. He cried out in frustration, but it came out more like a wail. And it hit his ears. It was a child's wail.
Oh, hell no. Fuck this shit, man.
Unfortunately, he did not give it time to wallow in his own self-pity. He heard four pairs of footsteps rapidly approaching. They were definitely armed and definitely fighters. His stubby baby neck did not allow him to turn his head to see them, but he could feel the displacement of the water and around them as they moved closer in. They spoke in a language he did not understand, but he got the drift of what they were saying. Is that a baby? What is he doing here? Is it alive? And probably other things like that. After about a minute of talking to each other, a man came into his peripheral vision. He was very handsome. Dark curls framed his face, and there was a certain cat-likeness to his movement. He lifted me up and held me tenderly in his arms. He turned back to his companions. There was a brief moment of silence. Collectively, as the group moved forward, my eyes traveled up, and for the first time, I saw a castle, ancient and beautiful, standing high above the cliff.
Why did it turn into first person? Because it's Percy Jackson, I guess, but also, like,
yes.
Why did you wait until the last paragraph?
Very strange.
I'm so going to kill the Fates if I ever see their wrinkly old faces again. So I read the new Percy Jackson book recently. A few months ago, mm-hmm. I guess it's been at this point. And I know that Percy Jackson's like a children's book and everything. But man, Percy Jackson really needs to say, like, fuck.
He really does.
Like, I know the books are made for, like 10-year-olds. But there were so many points in the book
that
I read, because he's like a high school senior in this book,
yeah,
and he's just like, oh man, this stuff really sucks, like I can't believe this crap is happening again. And I just imagine, like if I were in his position when I was a senior in high school, I would have said something that can't be said on this podcast. Yeah.
True.
I just imagine I'd be that. Like, oh, like, fuck man. This is fucking bullshit.
They should have used some ancient Greek curse words instead. I think that would have been a good way to get around it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really feel like after everything they go through in those books, like especially everything that Percy goes through, especially in the Heroes of Olympus books, because it takes place after Heroes of Olympus, like he should be able to swear. I think
he should.
He's a veteran.
I feel like he might be able to get away with it with just censoring it. Like if he swore and they just censored it.
He's a veteran of like two wars. He's almost died so many times. Like I won't spoil what happened in those books because I want to read it on the podcast. Like do a book club for it on the podcast at some point. Mm-hmm. But like he's earned it.
Mm-hmm. He probably needs a cig and a beer, to be honest.
Yeah. It's like Phoenix and I watching Dragon Ball. We've been making the joke that if Majin Buu had a menthol cigarette and like a six pack of beer, he wouldn't have done everything that he did. Like six pack of beer, baby sensory video, a cigarette. That's what Percy needed.
True.
If Percy had a good Weezer album, his life would be way better. Like Percy listens to Pinkerton once and he's like, "Mike, I'm good now. I get it."
We need to make a list of characters' lives would be improved from listening to Weezer.
List of characters whose lives would benefit from listening to Weezer and character whose lives would get worse from listening to Weezer.
Dichotomy of man.
The dichotomy of Weezer, you mean?
Yes.
All right. Next chapter?
Next chapter.
Chapter 2. Water me this, Batman. No, it's just water me this. All right. Percy grows up with his adopted
older brother. The Joker, if he were in Arrakis. And if it were me, it would just be my life if I were in Arrakis. Am I right, fellas?
Yes. That'd be great. So he's got his adopted older brother, Paul, and his adoptive parents, Leto and Jessica. He experiences visions not unlike Paul's own. His family discovers his water abilities, and how the fuck can he use the voice? Growing up twice was weird. His body couldn't catch up with his mind. He knew how to walk and talk.
I want Matt to be Gurney.
Not...
I want you to be Gurney.
Okay. I'll see how it's written in this. He knew how to walk and talk, although not in this language, but it felt as though his body was someone else's. Annabeth would have found some fancy wording for it to tease him, and he would have rolled his eyes and kissed her, but she wasn't here, and he was left to figure out how to grow up all again. He shook his head to clear his thoughts. He had grown to be what he thought was equivalent to 5 Earth years. He still didn't know if Caladan had the same time schedule as Earth, but it seemed close enough. He focused on the sea in front of him, the roaring waves crashing against the shore rocks beneath him. Violent storms brewed and rain fell. In the 5 years he'd lived here, Percy had truly grown to love this planet. Obviously, it was literally an ocean planet. He just felt so in tune with it, like the very sea rose and fell with his emotions. It reminded him of home. Every time he would get homesick, wishing so desperately for his family and friends, he would go to the sea and let the roaring tides and whistling winds comfort him. Sometimes he would even share it with his older brother. Biologically, they were 3 years apart, and while Percy did joke around or sass people a lot more than he probably should, one could almost mistake Paul and him for twins. Dark brown, almost black hair, only different shades of green eyes to separate them. They ate, slept, trained, and spent their free time together. Percy remembered Paul had been overjoyed to be an older brother. Despite the fact that their parents had made it clear that Percy was adopted, Paul never seemed to care even once. After all, the blood of the Covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Percy knew he would follow Paul, no matter where he went and no matter what he did. His eyes drifted to the docks nearby. It was a stone's throw away. If he could just reach it, just get on a sailboat, and then a rough, calloused hand yanks on his collar and lifts him into the air. Percy swings for a solid second before side-eyeing Gurney. Gurney, for his part, is not even fazed by his baby seal eyes. Still holding onto his collar, his trainer marches him up, back up to the castle, ignoring his protests and undignified screams the whole way.
Come on, just one little sail. I'll have it back in an hour or two.
Gurney raised an eyebrow, completely unbelieving.
Maybe like 3 or 4 hours, but I'd be safe.
Do you even know how to sail?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think if Percy was there before Paul, Jessica would have had a daughter instead?
I was gonna ask that. I was
probably how that. Different would like, the what? Dune universe be? Paulina Atreides. Where was I? Yes, in fact, I do. Me and Paul watched documentaries about it.
Technically, they had, but he doubted there was anything remotely important to sailing in those pitiful films. He really just had a fundamental understanding of sailing, because he was still technically a son of Poseidon. But they didn't need to know that. Although, with all the tests they did when he was a baby, they probably figured out all the weird biology shit he had going on.
That's Gurney.
Oh, Paul and I.
Shh.
They made it to the main living room. Paul was reading a book, and his mother and father were discussing some political stuff. All heads turned as they entered the room. Leto let a deep, amused chuckle, and Jessica rolled her eyes and sighed very fondly. Paul grinned up at him, and Percy pouted.
The docks again, Percy,
his mother said in an exasperated tone.
The sea is pretty,
he sputtered out. Leto's broad arms opened for him, and Gurney let him go. Percy dashed into his father's warm embrace and latched onto his torso. His father laughed again, arms circling his small frame. Oh, but the gods had felt good to be hugged by his dad. In his original life, Poseidon had rarely ever hugged him. He never knew such a small thing could affect a boy so deeply. There was a cough not far away, and all three of the Atreides males looked up at Jessica.
Hey. Is it Leto, Leto, or Leto?
I thought
Leto.
It was Leto.
Leto?
I thought it was Leto.
I hate to interrupt, but you boys have some important training to do, and your father and I have a few more things we need to discuss.
I turned and locked my eyes with Paul, a grin creeping its way onto my face. I took off down the hall, Paul not far behind me. Training consisted of math, science, history, languages, cultures, battle tactics, physical training, weapons, and politics. Percy loved learning about battle tactics and other languages and cultures, and, of course, weapons. He hadn't actually been allowed to use any of the weapons in combat, as he was only 5 years old, but he was taught how to use each and every weapon that Gurney or Duncan knew, and the best way to use them. He took to them like a fish would to water, and adapted them to fit his own unique fighting style. He focused on strong, fast jabs and strikes, getting close and striking, and then imminently backing off, so to not let the opponent get a hit in.
Percy would not enjoy studying other languages. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he would fucking despise it. Quintessentially, I think he couldn't enjoy it, because they're technically all dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
No one on Kaladin. Oh, no. The day wore on and they learned about wars and famine, chemistry and technology and language. Percy found he still couldn't read much of anything, but for whatever reason, he picked up languages orally very quickly. Paul also picked up languages quick, but his strengths lied in the understanding of the culture. It was fun to practice with each other. They'd even started to develop their own language, using bits and pieces of others, a code neither their parents nor their tutors could understand. No one on Kaladin denied that Percy was a smart child, and it wasn't like his old friends and family ever did either. However, Percy was often compared to Annabeth, and he loves his wise girl. You couldn't get him wrong about that, but it certainly reminded him of Gabe. Gabe, who had been the first to comment on his bad grades, to call him dumb or stupid or an idiot. Hearing that it was a perception many of his friends had shared about him had hurt. Yet here, he was adaptable and observant and intelligent. Of course, he wasn't half as smart as a majority of the people on Kaladin, but it felt good to not be overlooked. They had lunch, and in the afternoon, Paul left for his mini-duke duties, or whatever else he had to learn as the heir of the duke. Percy himself enjoyed extra lessons with Duncan, where he learned about what he would do as the personal guard for the future duke, or some new secret techniques. Today, however, was his first combat lesson. Duncan held a short sword in his hands. It was a shining silver with a gold hilt, with intricate carvings running up the blade in small, gold-painted print. Oasis. Duncan held it out to him, and his small fingers wrapped around the hilt in a vice grip. Percy marveled at the blade for a beat, and then looked up at Duncan. He grinned, and Duncan ruffled his head of curls. "Let's try out a few maneuvers, little Coral." And they did. They practiced till the moon began to rise behind them. He was obviously experienced in combat, but it felt so different to train like this. When he knew there wasn't some great war happening or that he needed to be leading someone, he had the privilege to train simply for the sake of training and to become a better fighter. Obviously, he could never hope to disarm Duncan, as that would raise much suspicion of a 5-year-old. Even as it was, Duncan definitely seemed a bit suspicious over how well Percy had been learning it, but oh well, if the Fates didn't want him to fuck up a timeline, they shouldn't have sent him here. His mother was the one to come and collect him, Paul on her heels. Jessica smiled at him and launched into a boring, adult conversation with Duncan. Percy ran up to Paul.
"What did you do?
What mother did you is starting to teach. What did you to do? I didn't even notice that.
What did you to do?
Mother is starting to teach me the voice. You?
I got to use a sword. It was so cool."
"That sounds lovely, dear."
Jessica smiled fondly. "Ah, it's a real natural, too. Might have been best me one day." Duncan huffed.
"Why is Duncan Scottish?"
"Isn't he? He was played by Patrick Stewart. I thought he was meant to always be Scottish."
"No, Patrick Stewart was Gurney."
"Oh,
yeah.
Duncan, not Gurney. My bad.
Gurney was also, Patrick Stewart was accidentally cast as Gurney also."
"Accidentally?"
"Yeah.
Accidentally.
Didn't know he was British and didn't know he was bald." "That's a true story. David Lynch was very upset, apparently. When fucking Patrick Stewart showed up on set, he was like, oh. You're Patrick Stewart?" And he's like, "Yeah, hi, David Lynch." And he's like, okay. Yeah, I don't think anyone has a canon accent in Dune other than like the Fremen have their Fremen.
Yeah,
I always read it as having a Scottish accent. Maybe that was just me.
It says here on the Wikipedia page, Aldo Ray was cast as Gurney Halleck, but due to his alcoholism, he was replaced with Patrick Stewart, which was hired after his performance in a Henry IV play in London, without Lynch realizing how he looked without his costume.
Oh my god.
That's funny.
I feel like if anything, Gurney... Well, I guess... Gurney isn't from Kaladin, right? I guess?
I don't think so.
He was born in Gaty Prime. He would have been... That's Brian lore, I guess. But, if he was from...
That means it's not real if it's Brian.
If he's from Gaty Prime, then he... I don't know what accent the Harkonnens would have, but...
It seems like the miniseries cast him as Scottish, and I think I remember him having a very slight Scottish tinge to him in the movie. Maybe I could be wrong.
I just remember him being Josh Brolin. He's just Josh Brolin. He's just like, I am smiling.
He's just Thanos.
I like that line in the movie. I am smiling.
Well, see, I feel like it comes off as not only the character, but also Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen Josh Brolin smile in a movie, I guess.
I have not either. He's usually always playing an intense fucking person, if not a big purple bald man.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what accent I would give characters from Dune. What would you give characters from Dune accent-wise? Comment below. I would give Leto a Spanish accent. I would give Jessica, because his dad was a fucking, he got killed by a bull, and I just feel like
he's a matador.
Yeah, I feel like Caladan is like Spain. Just makes sense to me.
Caladan is like rainy all the time, and
I think he means like ocean. culturally.
Oh, okay. I mean, like, Matador fucking Duke killed by a bull, his son is in charge. I feel like it makes sense. Jessica would be British. I feel like the Bene Gesserit are British.
What are your thoughts?
What do you guys think? You disagree with that?
I can agree. I think that's fair.
I feel like if Gurney had an accent, it would be like Bert's accent from Mary Poppins. Like, really, really bad British accent.
I thought when you said Bert, you were meaning me.
Yeah, he
has a Midwest accent?
Dog shit ass British accent, Kai. Fuck you. I don't know if you ever had to do an accent in a play in high school, but if you did, I bet it sucked.
I had to do a German accent, and it did suck.
I had to do a British accent, and it was very Cockney, and it was kind of bad, but people thought it was good, allegedly.
People thought mine was good, but I can assure you it was not.
See, it's a thing where, like, I don't imagine characters speaking with an accent unless there's something, like, context clues for me to, like, pick up on it. So for Dune, I just imagine everybody is just, like, American. Although, Princess Irulan gives me big British vibes for some reason.
I think any Bene Gesserit would be British.
I feel like I give everyone, like, a generic cross between British and American.
I'm biased because the audiobook, like, everyone's British in the audiobook. So, like, when I imagine Paul's voice, I just imagine the guy in the audiobook, like, the narrator doing his Paul voice. But I don't know if that would be my, like, how I imagine. I think Paul would be British. I think Jessica would be British and would, like, rub it off on him, I guess. I think Leto would
be that makes Spanish. Sense.
I think the Harkonnens would be, like, you know, like, hoity British, you know what I mean? Like, urgh!
Very aristocratic.
Yeah.
I think it would be funny if the Harkonnens were Australian.
I think House Karina would be like Western Asian, maybe. Like Pakistani, maybe.
Come here, boy, with your supple body.
Oh, God.
Oh, bring that boy's supple body to me. That's what I'm imagining Baron Harkonnen sounds like.
Imagine Paul walks in so royally, so confidently up to Fade Rotha, and Fade just says, g'day, cunt.
Oh, yeah, I love going to the slave pens.
It'd be funny.
I love going to the slave pens and fucking the slave women.
Instead of what do we do?
I just imagine that. You know what? I imagine Beast Raban sounds like fucking Rick in Australian Rick and Morty. <It's>
Like, bring me more Dabe. Bring him to me. I'm gonna kill him.
All right.
Okay. Focus. Percy, focus.
Read your line. One day.
One day. I bet I could best you right now. Hiyah!
Percy punctuated his words, sending a kick into Duncan's shin area. The man easily blocked it and maneuvered so he could sling Percy over his shoulder. Percy screeched in protest. Wand, Pod broke down laughing. They collectively made their way to the connected bedroom. Duncan dropped Percy on his mattress with a thunk, and the boy giggled while Percy and Paul readied for bed and then slept. Percy dreamed, not a regular dream like he'd enjoyed for the last 5 years, a prophetic dream. He knew was what it was. He'd experienced his own demigod dreams, and he knew which ones were prophetic, and which were just dreams. He was older, maybe 12 or 13. He was running his heartbeat like a drum in his skull, and his eyes scanned the horizon. He was in a desert with gold glitter in the air. With each pounding step, he kicked more of the stuff up in clouds of dust and sand. Where was he? Why wasn't he on Caladan? Where's Paul? Where were his parents? The ground started to vibrate, and Dream Percy looked back to see a cloud of dust moving in his direction. At this time was when the voices began, a chorus of reverence and awe and elation, a language he vaguely recognized as Fremen. He didn't understand most of it.
Freemen. The Freemen!
We are going to help the Freemen.
That's my impression of the Vortigaunts. It's terrible. I tried my best.
Mr. Freeman, I see a worm.
Isn't there a word for the Fremen language?
Isn't it like Chakopsa or something?
Chakopsa.
Like Chakopsa. Yeah.
Huh. Which isn't it a real language? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Interesting. But he catches one word as Dream Percy leaps in and lands on the absolutely colossal wormy thing, and the voices rise to an ear-splitting scream. And he really would have liked for the voices to go away.
Shai'ulud has come.
Shut up!
And then everything goes white.
I was waiting for you to say it like the Smosh.
I had the same thought in my mind, but I don't think I could make the Smosh shut up noise.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Percy, that's pretty good. Back to reality.
We'll edit it in post.
Yes. Well, make it like 5 times louder in post, Sergio. The first thing he notices is that there's a storm outside. A bad one. Like, Terra building from its supports kind of bad. And then he noticed the absolute silence in his room. It's particularly odd because there's at least 8 people in his room, and they all look like they'd been in a heated argument. Paul ran to him, arms closing particularly around his head as Percy shuddered, processing what he'd seen. Percy cried into his brother's
chest.
Percy cried into his brother's chest, and an earthquake rattled the castle and thunder shook the sky. Everyone is looking at him.
Okay, I have to say, no offense to the author, but the changing of like perspective and tenses is like, I don't know, it's a little distracting.
Yeah.
And some of the grammatical errors are distracting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how to write something 101. Just keep things consistent. Don't mess that part up, and it makes it a lot easier to keep going through something.
I think it's interesting. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
I like the premise a lot, actually. Although I would have also found it very funny if Percy had gotten there first and Paul turned out to be Paulina.
That would be such an interesting story, too.
It would be really cool. Although, knowing the Bene Gesserit and Dune, there would be a very intensely disturbing amount of incest tones that the Bene Gesserit would probably try to push forward. They'd be like, yeah, come on. This kid's got like superpowers.
No, I don't think they would account Percy in the Bene Gesserit breeding plans because they don't know his origins.
That's true.
Maybe.
They don't know his genetic pedigree.
I guess it depends on if there's a biological marker for son of a god.
They'd have to do tests. Mm. We shouldn't think about those.
No, I don't want to either.
Because the gods, I feel like the gods in Percy Jackson distinctly, like, they definitely have DNA because...
Because they would have to.
Well, not even that, but the children of gods tend to look like their parents. Like,
yes.
Luke looks like Hermes, Percy looks like Poseidon. Even, like, when they get into the Roman stuff, like, there are differences between, like, visually between the Greek and the Roman versions of the gods, and the kids, like, mirror that.
Interesting. Well,
wait a minute. I scrolled down, and there's Japanese in the chat in chapter 3.
There is? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Huh. Weird.
Oh, I see that. Are they making Dr. Yui? Three. They're making Dr. Yui speak Japanese.
Hmm.
I feel like that's silly.
Maybe slightly.
I don't think we should read chapter 3 because I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling a little fatigued.
Okay.
Fair enough.
We should come back for it. I just want to point out, maybe when there's a few more chapters, we can come back to it for sure. I just want to point out in chapter 3, they refer to the Gamja Bar as the Jimja Bar.
Jimja Bar. Where is that? Where is it?
I hold at your neck the Jimja Bar, a poison needle, instant death, your hand from the blocks and you die.
is the Jimja Bar something that makes you swole as fuck?
No, I think that's the thing that you do, like the barbell, like the
the Jimja Bar,
You put the weights on it and you do chest day.
It's the Smith machine or the Smith rack.
The Jimja Bar. I don't know. I love the Jimja Bar. That's really funny. The Jimja Bar. Oh, I shouldn't be laughing.
Killing me.
I really like this fan fiction. I think it's a really interesting idea. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think
it has a lot of potential. I think there's a lot of issues with, like...
Wait a second. Look in the summary. House Arates.
House Atreides.
Atreides. Also, they misread... There should be apostrophe S. Atreides.
Well, it's also, like, completely misspelled.
Atreides. But, I had a thought... In regards to the Gamja Bar, kind of related to Fade.
Yeah, the Jimja Bar.
Okay, so, you know, the whole thing is, like, you have to keep your hand in the box, and you feel like your hand's, like, on fire. And if you pull your hand out, then, like, they stab you with the needle and you die. But what if instead of screaming, they started moaning, and you have to be the person, like, giving the test, and you have to sit there and listen to them moan until it's completed, or they pulled their hand out?
I headcanon that Fade Rautha put his dick in the Gamja Bar.
It's true.
He'd get freaky with it, you know what I'm saying?
He would have a good time. But yeah, I think this is interesting. I think it's interesting also having the, like, Atreides parents being more, like, loving parents. I think that's an interesting change. Because they're quite cold.
That's true.
They're quite cold and distant.
Indeed.
A lot of the time in, like, at least the book.
I wouldn't necessarily say that they're cold.
Jessica certainly isn't, like, cold, at least.
Paul is, like, always longing to be with his dad and do stuff with his dad. I think it's...
I just mean, cold. Like, they're not, like, hugging him and stuff, you know?
No, they're not, like, a super, like, touchy-feely
family.
They're
not affectionate. Mm-hmm. Constantly.
But there's a lot of comfort that Paul draws from being in the presence of his dad.
Yes.
Like, Paul just... totally at ease when he's with his dad every time.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I think the fic has a couple, like,
the fic,
like, obviously the
The Fic Grammar.
The Fic Grammar. The first person, third person perspective needs to be made consistent.
Yes.
I feel like it would work first person, but it's mostly third person, so you should just stick with that.
I agree with that. It might be interesting to make it first person, though, since that's like...
The Percy Jackson
thing. The Percy Jackson books, yeah.
Yeah.
But it fits in more with, like, I guess the world itself, since we're not in the Percy Jackson universe.
Yeah.
It fits in more with the Dune universe to be in third person.
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely an interesting idea for sure.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's interesting because you can see the parallels between, like, Percy and Paul and their lives being dictated by, like, horrible old women.
Yes.
Well, that's not too different than Percy's normal life.
Yes. Yeah. They both that's what I'm saying. Like, he was brought here by the Fates, and he always gets fucked with by the Fates in his own universe. And then, you know, Paul's got to contend with the Bene Gesserit.
I like the idea that Paul is, like, mentally, like, milling over the thought of committing, like, a galaxy-wide genocide, and Percy's just like, like, dude. Let's go fuck with the Fremen. I can make them dance with my fucking water powers and their still suits, dude. Dude, while Stilgar's being a real dick. Watch this. Oh, he tripped.
That would be amazing.
I'm imagining Percy causing an incident because he decides to, like, move the water in the Fremen death pool.
They're like, oh, the water is possessed. Dude, they would do the trial of possession and fucking kill Percy with a gun.
I'm imagining there's all these. I would love to have it switch perspectives between Percy and another character in the chapter, and for the other characters, it's like the super important Dune stuff. Like, oh my god, he is the water child. He is the water son. And Percy's just like, man, I don't want to die.
I'm also imagining, I'm also definitely imagining, like, Gurney teaching Percy to play the Balisset, but Percy just learns, like, our modern day music. He's like, this song, he's like, this song's about the son of Arrakis beating down on you and only getting a moment of respite during the day if the moons of Arrakis cover the sun and create an eclipse, and then he just plays like Black Hole Sun on the balance.
Yeah, I was just imagining fucking what's the song? Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Jacob, he would not play Black Hole Sun. He would play Island in the Sun.
Ocean Man.
Percy Jackson would not listen to Weezer. I'm sorry. I'll say it. I'll change my answer. He would not listen to Weezer. Percy Jackson. Well, what year would Percy Jackson have been born?
Percy Jackson birth date.
1993.
Damn, he old now.
Percy Jackson would have listened to nu metal. I think Percy would be like, I'm gonna play in the battle when we go fight the Padishah Emperor. Don't worry, brother, I've got you. And then, like, they fucking ride into battle on the sandworms, and Percy's got a Balisset, and he's playing Rage Against the Machine.
Just like, dude, the Blue Album went platinum in 6 months from its release.
Yeah, I knew that. God, it's like, you think I'm an amateur? You think I'm not the biggest Weezer fan anybody here knows? If I import, my friend has a music bot in their Discord that shows how many times you've played certain, like, artists on Spotify, and I need to import my data, and I'll let you know. If I import my data, there will be 10,000 plus plays on Weezer. Probably more. My friend was like, look how many I have on Mitski, and it was like 4,000. I was like, dude, if you did Weezer on mine and I imported my data, that would look like nothing.
You have power beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I think we've run out of stuff Percy Jackson and Paul Madib Atreides, Duke of Arrakis, related to say. The brain rot has set in. I'm sorry to tell everybody. We have probably 4 months to live after Dune has been released.
Don't worry, we'll just drink the water of life, and our life will be extended by the use of the Spice Melange.
Yes, join us on
Spice Melange. I was thinking we could enhance the water of life, because that feels like something Brian would do, by combining it with charged lemonade and Windex.
The water of...
No! Oh my god! Okay, for context, I sent Sam a screenshot of a tweet that I read. I sent it to Kai too, I think. It says, one time I made a beverage called Green Dragon, which consists of Everclear infused with marijuana. The way I made it involved a double boiling weed in the alcohol. When it was done, I took a shot while it was still hot. A flash went over my face and I was immediately high. I had been rolling cigarettes since I was 19, and I got so good at it that I was able to roll cigarettes while completely blackout drunk. After drinking this, I had to have somebody come over and help me roll a cigarette because I was not capable of doing it for the first time in my life. I'm thinking we make that, we put some blue food coloring in it, and we drink the water of life.
No, thank you.
We give it to Sergio, and he just dies.
I would rather have, what did you suggest, Sergio? Windex and, Windex and the Death Lemonade?
I think Windex and Death Lemonade would just be less dangerous than the Everclear Green Dragon.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
We'll put some Powerade in the Windex and the Death Lemonade.
That's pretty good. We can add some ibuprofen.
Yes. G gut nutter. See, this is the brain rot truly setting in now.
So you have to get us out of here. Get us out of here before it sights in any sooner.